up our series, A New Life in Christ. And so we began back on the last Sunday of last year, getting ready for this year. And to be quite honest, I had no idea exactly where God was going to lead us with this. I just knew he was giving me a direction, and it's turned into a five-week series that I just think is a real word from God, a message from God for our church for this year, and to get us started in the right direction. So I just want to do a little bit of review, and then we're going to wind up today with a really important truth. So we talked about the first week that Jesus promised abundant life. You know, John 10:10, I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. In that verse, he contrasts the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I, Jesus, the Savior, have come to give you life. So we see there's always this contrast going on. There's something that wants to rob you and give you death, and there's someone, Jesus, who wants to save you and give you life. And so we see that all throughout the scripture, and so we need to understand how to interact with that paradigm and avoid the negativity of sin and death and step into the new life that Jesus promised. And when Jesus promises, you can be for sure he will fulfill his promise. And he has already made every appropriation that needs to be made so that you and I can walk in abundant life. There's nothing else he needs to do. He has finished his work. And so we just are yet really just at a place that, oh, I can receive this as a gift. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to earn it. I can just, by faith, receive life in Christ. And I want to say to you today, if you might have been here for a while, or if you're brand new today and you're hearing this message that Jesus gives life, I want to tell you, if you've never met Jesus personally, today is your day. He wants to meet you, save you, give you life, and take you from the darkness of sin and death. And then the next week, we talked about that this abundant life that is promised is in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit of God delivers the goods, okay? If you're going to get the life that Jesus promised, it's going to come to you today through the present work of the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, there's lots of scripture we covered, and I can't re-preach all that as I would love to, but I can't. And so if you haven't heard those messages, you can get your phone right now and you could download our app. And if you don't have it, I want you to at least, you could get it, maybe they'll put it on the screen, then you could go out here in a minute, you could go to the Connection Center and you can download. There's all the resources we give out here come the easiest to you right there on your phone. So you can hear the messages, this little pamphlet that we printed out that gives you a daily questionnaire and assessment, daily prayers, all of those are right there on your app. If you don't know how to access that, let one of us know. We'd be happy to help you. And if you would like hard copies, we still do paper too. So we'll give you paper and email you notes or print them off and take them to you, put them in the snail mail, and they'll get there sometime this week. So we'll do it either way. And we want you to have all the resources you can to appropriate these things. So one thing that we try to do diligently, as a team of leaders here and pastors, we want to put tools in the hands of our people so you don't just hear a message, you can actually take that message and put it to work in your life. And that really follows the biblical paradigm in the book of James, where he said, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Not hearers only, but doers. And so that's why we give you these tools. I can't go over all that, but this abundant life is in the Spirit. The next week we said we simply need to follow the Spirit's leading. So it's real simple. And then we learned the next week, if we're going to follow the Spirit's leading, he's going to lead us to take our thoughts captive. And you're like, well, what does that mean? That means you need to stop that negative thinking and speak to it and say, you need to go obey Christ. And I'll get to that. I'm going to cover that just a little bit because I think it's so important to get that concept out. But honestly, none of this is complicated. Not hard to understand. It doesn't take a PhD in theology to understand what I'm saying. Children can grasp this idea. In fact, one of my examples one week about taking your thoughts captives was a young man. I'm talking about early 20s, teenage type. They get it. And some of us need to shake off all our old thoughts and just get into something new today. You go, well, I don't know about that. Well, why don't you just have some faith today? Maybe you've been in church too long. Maybe you need a restart. Have you ever had to, like, you know, wipe your computer and, you know, reformat the thing? Maybe we all need our hard drives reformatted every now and again. Because God is working and moving, and there's not going to be a day go by that you don't learn new truth in God. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're the ones that need to change. We're the ones who need to keep growing. We're the ones who need to keep being enlightened. And so I'll stop right there. So we learn there is a war within. Flesh versus spirit. Flesh equals death. Spirit equals life. And the battlefield is your mind. And so there was a key scripture we've covered every week, Romans 8:6. The mindset on the flesh is death. So flesh is the sinful self, the self-centered nature. But the mindset on the spirit, that's God's work in your life, is life and peace. Let's read it in the New Century Version. I say this is a simplified version, but it makes it so plain, helps us really grasp the truth. If people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, there's death. But if their thinking is controlled by the spirit, say it with me, there is life and peace. So, if I were just to come to you today and say, you can have whatever you want, death and destruction or life and peace, you make the call. What would you pick? Okay, a couple of people are going to pick life and peace. I guess the rest of you are teetering on the decision. I hope that you'll lean over here toward life. Nobody's going to pick death and destruction. Nobody. But yet, sometimes we find ourselves there. Because we're ingrained in old ways of thinking, old habits. Nobody who's coming to church faithfully is trying to live in sin on purpose. I don't believe that. I believe you're here because you want to walk with God. But we have to recognize the things that keep us tripping over our own 2 feet, so to speak. We keep stumbling when Jesus is trying to give us a leg up, a hand up, and we can find that if we really search the scripture. We can find the help that he wants. So, in 2 Corinthians 10, we found that important battle in the mind, we found a conclusion. I'm not going to read the scripture, I'm just going to tell you the conclusion. The Holy Spirit gives us weapons in this war against the flesh. And they are divinely powerful to destroy thoughts that lead to death, destruction, and the deeds of the flesh. Many people feel trapped in their sinful patterns or addictions, but you can learn how to win. You don't have to stay trapped. I've seen people who were addicts their whole life go free because they got in touch with the Holy Spirit, but then they applied the truth and learned to change their minds. I've seen people who were in darkness who've come out in the light, and they don't want to go back to the darkness. The temptation wanes, and the thought of vision for future with God is so big and bright. We're going for this thing. This is such a doable thing in our lives. We sometimes look at God and this whole interaction and decision making between sin, and we think sin comes so easily. And this whole God thing, it's so difficult. It's so hard. I just can't seem to do it. Well, that week we talked about taking your thoughts captive. What did we say? We want to teach you how to accelerate your spiritual life. To like get you on the fast track to being done with this negativity and walking in this life. And so we said this, we learned a few key things to pray or say. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, that's like dramatic, man. The Holy Spirit's a coming to me. If somebody could get up here on the Hammond organ, I could really preach. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to go back to just normal. All right. Oh, man, that's funny. Here's what we said. We need to learn to take our thoughts captive. So here's an example. Hey, lustful thought, I don't want you anymore. You have to obey Christ. Leave me right now. And you go, well, that sounds a little bit crazy to kind of have a conversation with yourself. Well, it works. And your faith is already crazy anyway. The fact that you believe in Jesus and you think something that happened 2,000 years ago on a cross makes a difference in your eternal life, that's already crazy. You might as well take your thoughts captive too. I mean, it's not crazy. We know it's the truth by experience. We know it's the reality of the kingdom. But the kingdom of heaven is so absolutely opposite to this world. So you can do this stuff. Hey, angry thought, I don't want you anymore. You need to go obey Jesus and get away from me right now. See, we can do this. And then the word of encouragement throughout this whole series has been this, Galatians 6:9. And don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. So many of us have worked really hard to do the right thing. We've tried to sow the seeds of the Spirit. We haven't tried, we are. And we haven't yet seen the fruit. And the word here is be encouraged. You're sowing to the Spirit, planting the good seeds of the Spirit. You will and you are reaping eternal, abundant life. Don't give up. Now, today I want to end on one truth that I believe will accelerate your growth even more. I want to introduce you to a concept that's all throughout the New Testament. It just depends on where you've been, whether you've heard about it or not. It's a concept called praying in the Spirit. So we said Jesus brings us abundant life. That life comes in the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Take your thoughts captive. And today we're going to learn how to pray in the Spirit. So let's look at a few scriptures and then we'll go forward with this new, what I would say is an amazing revolutionary truth. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all of the saints. If you know your Bible, and if you don't, I'll tell you, Ephesians 6, right preceding this verse, is telling you to put on the full armor of God. So what have we been saying? We're in a war. It's a spiritual battle. It goes on in your mind. There are other aspects of the war that we haven't covered right now, because if you don't get the mind thing and the spirit thing working, you don't need to worry about the rest of the war. So the war that you need to master is going on inside your head and in your heart. And so right previous to this verse, it says pray in the Spirit. It says put on the full armor of God, you know, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, all that stuff, right? And we could teach all that, but it would take too long. But it concludes, you're in a battle. Now here's what you need to do. Pray all the time in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it introduces a concept. It doesn't give you any idea how to do that in this passage in Ephesians. It just tells you to do it. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. I mean, if you want to read honestly the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he's not saying, let me give you a few suggestions about how to live the Christian life. You know, I've heard people say this, the Bible's a good suggestion. I don't agree with that. The Bible is the truth. We say that the Word of God, 66 books in all, Old and New Testament, is the final authority on all things in faith and how to practice our lives. Everything in our life, we're going to find the final authority in the Word of God. And so in the book of Ephesians, the final authority of this war says this, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. So we get a concept here. We're going to talk about how you do that here in a minute. But here's another passage of scripture that says almost exactly the same thing. Jude, there's really only one chapter, so you could say Jude 20 and 21 or Jude 1 verse 20. So here's what I say, Jude 1 verse 20. Nobody cares about that but Bible nerds, okay? You just say, tell me what it says. Okay, so here's what it says. But you, beloved, this is instructions to the church, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. So we see in these two key passages of scripture, that Holy Spirit-inspired praying will without a doubt accelerate your spiritual growth. it will help you walk in the fruit of the Spirit that we've learned about this whole time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Walking in this kind of Holy Spirit-inspired, led prayer, praying in the Spirit, is going to help you walk in the fruits of the Spirit. It's going to also help you overcome the deeds of the flesh. Let's look at another passage of Scripture in the New Testament that talks about the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for word. That right there could be for us or through us. You can't distinguish between the two. So, you know, if you go and read about this on the internet today, there's going to be people who say, well, that can't be praying in the Spirit. That's the Spirit praying for you. If you know anything about God, he prays for you, he prays through you, he prays around you, he prays all beside you. You can't put God in a box, okay? I'm going to keep going because I promised myself I wouldn't get preachy today. That's hard for a preacher. Where am I? For we do not know how to pray as we should. If you're going to obey Ephesians, pray all the time, you're going to run out of words real fast. You might need the Spirit groaning through you or something going on here, because if I'm going to obey the word, I'm done in about less than 5 minutes. If anybody else is honest, you can't pray that long. I mean, even if you got a good prayer list, you might make it an hour if you're like Granny who prays all day kind of woman. You know what I'm saying? But normal people ain't like that. Normal people run out of prayers real fast. Unless you know you're in trouble, you can pray a lot. But anyway, I'll never forget when I was in sixth grade. I prayed all night. It's the first time I prayed all night that I remember. Because I thought I was going to make a failing grade on my report card, and that was not going to go over good with my dad. So I prayed all night. I don't know that it was in the Spirit, but I prayed all night. Lord God, change the grade on that paper. I promise I'll work harder next semester. Well, God didn't change the grade, and I still got busted. So, okay. But I prayed all night for the first time in my life. I've had better experiences than that later on when I was praying for something that mattered. But anyway, praying all the time is a big, tall order if you want to know the truth. Okay, so here we go. So intercedes for us or through us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, this is the Holy Spirit, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So what am I trying to get you to understand here? Jesus promised life. Life is in the Spirit. If we're going to get into this thing, we're going to have to learn to pray in agreement with the Holy Spirit. He's going to pray through us. Connecting deeply with the Holy Spirit in prayer causes us to get in touch with God's will for our lives. That's what he just said. The Spirit knows God's will for your life. How many of you have ever said, I just wish I knew what God's will was for my life? I wish I knew what his will is in this specific situation. Well, the Holy Spirit knows. And if you can learn to get into the groove and the flow and the river or the downhill black slope of the Spirit, whatever you want to call it, if you can get in the momentum of where the Spirit's leading, then you can find the will of God. God doesn't hide his will from his children. Sometimes we have this view of God like he's like sadistic or something. He is love. He is Father. What good earthly father do you know that hides good things from his children? They don't. It's probably another sermon, but it's probably a good one. So we can definitely see that we are instructed to pray in the Spirit. No doubt. Anybody disagree with that? Reading your Bible today? We're told to pray in the Spirit. And then we see also the Spirit intercedes for us, maybe through us, both. So You can't talk about praying in the Spirit and ignore 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. There's a very distinct way to pray in the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. We see it introduced in this concept in 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the mind also. I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing with the mind also. This is in the context of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Anybody familiar with the nine gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So those are the nine gifts of the Spirit. I think it's interesting that there's nine fruits of the Spirit and there's nine gifts of the Spirit. I think that's really cool. Here in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, praying in the Spirit is specifically referring to, I'm going to say it, everybody, speaking in tongues. Dun, dun, dun. Where's the music now? And so here's what I want to tell everybody. I'm nervous as a cat. I never get nervous about preaching on Sundays, but I know this is a sensitive topic for some people because some of you have had really bad experiences with speaking in tongues or spiritual gifts. Here's what I would say. There's absolutely no reason that any spiritual gift discussion should be it should be sensitive to you. It shouldn't. This is the Bible. The same God who sent his one and only Son to forgive you of your sins, who paid the debt you couldn't pay, is the same one who sent his Spirit to fill you with his fruit and then gift you for ministry. So I want to make it real clear up front. If we're going to talk about spiritual gifts for just a minute today, here's the framework. Focus on the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Focus on the fruit, but ask God to give you the gifts. Because the fruit is the evidence of the Spirit working in you. You're taking thoughts captive. You're renewing the mind. You're loving people. You're being kind to people. I mean, that's why our assessment we gave you is asking you about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm never probably going to give you an assessment to do every day. It says, what gift are you operating in today? Because if you're flowing in the fruit, nobody cares what gift you're operating in. They're just glad you got one because it helped them. And all the gifts of the Spirit are to build up the body of Christ. But there's a special instruction and word about this speaking in tongues. It says it builds up yourself first. It's an amazing thing. And I've heard people all throughout, you know, I've heard all the arguments on both sides of this, okay? Well, that's so selfish to want to edify yourself. Well, the Bible says you need to edify yourself. Nobody really has a problem with saying encourage one another, but then if you're trying to explain away a spiritual gift, you'll say all kinds of weird things. Do you know why people try to explain away spiritual gifts? Because it makes them uncomfortable. And it's mainly because somebody abused the gift. They didn't use it properly. So here's what I want to tell you. At Harvest Christian Fellowship, we believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. We say the Bible is the final authority on how to do life. You cannot read the Bible and ignore the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, we've kind of been warming up to this. Have you noticed? We said Jesus promised life, and then we got to, because everybody's good with Jesus, at least in the church, maybe not in the world, but everybody's good with Jesus. So we got to help you understand that Jesus is the one who sent the Holy Spirit in agreement with the Father. And then we learn that the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and so there's no difference. If you like God, you like the Holy Spirit. If you like Jesus, you really like the Holy Spirit because he's inside you. He's not beside you. He's in you. And he's the one distributing this goodness to you. So we're kind of warming up to the Holy Spirit, right? Kind of had 4 weeks of an icebreaker, trying to get okay with the Holy Spirit. And some of you are still shaking your heads like, I knew he was going to go there. Here's what I want to tell you about at Harvest Christian Fellowship. We don't think everybody has to speak in tongues. Everybody doesn't have to prophesy. Everybody doesn't have to heal. The Spirit, it says clearly in 1 Corinthians 12, the Spirit distributes the gifts as he desires. So I'm not in charge of distributing the gifts. I'm in charge of preaching the word. And then you get to interact with God and decide how God works in you. Now, I feel like the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit have been such a growth and blessing and, drawn me closer to God in my whole life, especially the last 20 years. I would be super selfish if I didn't take time to teach this to you, if I just wanted to keep it to myself. So let me just keep going with the notes a little bit. Just to be clear, because I want to say it clearly, we do not believe that everyone has to speak in tongues or that speaking in tongues makes you a better or higher level believer. No, that's not what we believe. All believers are equal in the sight of God, and God's calling all of us closer to him so he can use us to advance his love in this earth. So, but we do believe that all the gifts of the Spirit are active in the church today. All the gifts are to be used to build up the church. Here's what I would ask you to do. I would ask you to listen to what I have to say. Then I would ask you to study the Bible for yourself. Then I would ask you, if you have questions and you're interested, we have a book called Experiencing the Spirit. It's on sale for half price today right under the windmill. If you're listening to me and you don't like anything I'm saying, give this guy a chance. He says it a lot better than me. Or if you're just going, I would really like to learn more. I don't know much. I've not been taught much. That's how I was. When I came to Harvest back in 1995, I was a Christian and I was solid on my faith in Jesus. But I was, number one, bound up in religion and sin. And number two, had never been introduced to the power of the Holy Spirit. I knew the Holy Spirit was part of the Trinity and I could talk to you about the Holy Spirit. But I'd never encountered the power to set me free. Well, I started hanging out with these crazy people at this church called Harvest. And now I am one. It didn't take me but about 6 weeks to decide I wanted to be one. I'd never felt such love, compassion, mercy, and the power to overcome. I was desperate to overcome. So when I came to Harvest in 95, I needed everything I've been preaching the last 5 weeks. And I needed it desperately. I knew I was going to heaven when I died. But I was dying while I was headed to heaven. Because the mindset on the flesh is death. And I needed deliverance. The other thing I'd encourage you to do, if some of this makes you uncomfortable, we have a Holy Spirit class every semester. This time it's April the 28th. Gives you plenty of time. You can read the book ahead of time. Come to the Holy Spirit class. And here's what's going to happen at Harvest. Nobody is going to pressure you to do anything. Here's what we're going to pressure you to read your Bible. Peer pressure is here. Read the word. Peer pressure is here. Seek God. But as far as what spiritual gifts you work in or operate in, we're going to let the Holy Spirit distribute that. And then we're going to help everybody come closer to God. Our whole goal here is to help you get closer to Jesus through the Holy Spirit so the life that he promised you can manifest by all the fruits of the Spirit in your life. And then if you get really good with fruiting, then you can be gifted. That makes sense? I'm not into, see, the fruits are the character of God working in and through you. The gifts are the manifest power of God being used in you to, yes, bless you, but then the ultimate goal is to build up the church, to strengthen other people. And so if you do gift before character, you can build something with your gift, but you'll destroy it with your bad character. But if you do character before gift, you'll never destroy what you built because your character can hold what your gifts build. I learned all of that right here at Harvest Christian Fellowship. And I've done my best to practice it my whole life here. And I thank God for all the people who've mentored me, prayed for me, and discipled me along the way. So concerning what we've been teaching in this series, our desire is to fully live in and experience the new abundant life that Jesus promised. I want to go over three important amazing truths. I would call them amazing truths in the book of Corinthians. And I'm not going to take time to read it all. You can go home and read it yourself. I'm going to give you the highlight reel, okay? So, our desires to accelerate our spiritual growth and experience life. Three really amazing truths that we need to discuss concerning praying in the Spirit. Number one, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it shows us that we have a direct link to God when we pray in tongues, when we speak in tongues. It says, when you speak in tongues, you speak to God, not to men. Now, I want to describe this for you. This was so vivid to me when I learned this back in 95 and 96. I was working at the Wayland Bookstore, and I was the textbook manager, okay? And nobody cares about that because everybody hates textbook managers. But anyway, it paid the bills, and I got yelled at a lot because when we buy books back, we really don't pay much. And it was a great experience of patience and kindness trying to, everybody's mad at you, be nice to them. Okay, so, but in that process of ordering and fulfilling the requirements of the job, I had two programs I worked with. One was called a want list, and it was a software package. It was back in the dial-up modem days, okay? And, the internet was just barely being birthed. And so you would put together your list of what you wanted. What books do you need for this semester? And there was one program called a want list. And what you would do is shoot out your want list, and it might take them 2 or 3 days to get back to you how much. And so you just had to wait. But then there was this other company who had this software called Direct Link. And when you sent a direct link, within 5 minutes, you got an answer back of how many books you had ordered, how many they could fulfill. And guess who I wanted to order from? The company that used Direct Link, because this want list thing took way too much time. And so when I read this praying in the Spirit, this speaking in tongues is direct link, I get it. Amen. This other deal, listen, please listen to me. I told you I was bound in religion and sin when I got here, and I was desperate to get to the heart of God. I was in the want list life. I wanted all this stuff from God. I wanted what God had for me, but I couldn't work through all the crud in my mind and heart because I'd been sowing to the flesh, man. I was a Christian, and I knew better, but I'd been sowing to the flesh, and guess what? When I asked God to give me this gift of praying in the Spirit by speaking in tongues, I understood I was going to get a direct link because what it does, and I'm going to jump ahead. Number two is strengthen yourself, and number three is bypass the mind. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, when you pray in a tongue, your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit is fruitful. And I said, I'm going to get some of this. If God will allow me, I'm getting in on this deal. Why? Because I needed to bypass my perverted mind. And when I understood that if I could pray in tongues and that would bypass this mess in my mind and directly link me to the Spirit of God, I said, God, I need this. And he said, okay, I'll give it to you. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So I knew I was on good biblical ground to be asking for any of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I want them all, but I really want this one. Okay, a couple of people think that's cool, but the rest of you are still going, I don't know if I want that tongues. Well, you don't have to take that tongues. I'm just telling you my story. And I get to tell it because I'm the preacher. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, we see that when you pray in a tongue or in the Spirit, you directly link to God. It bypasses all of your crazy thoughts. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, 4, we see that you strengthen yourself. It says, when you pray in a tongue, you edify yourself. But when you prophesy, you edify the church. Well, we need both, and it's clear in Corinthians. Paul says, I would rather prophesy in the church because everybody can understand. That means speak in a language everybody can understand. And there's all kinds of instructions in there about giving a word out loud in tongues and somebody interpreting it. There's also instructions about giving a word of prophecy and letting the prophets judge it. We're not going to get, that's all talking about a public service meeting, okay? And we operate by the rules of Corinthians, by the way. When's the last time you heard somebody yelling out in tongues in our service? You didn't. Because we're operating by the rules in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. If somebody does yell out in tongues in our service, we're going to stop and say, we need an interpretation. And that shuts that down real fast. There are churches where everybody gets in there and everybody's yelling out in their prayer language at one time. I'm not mad at them. It's just not biblical. Okay? So we're never going to do that here because we're going to obey the Bible. So I'm not after anybody if that's the way they do it. I'm not even saying they're sinning. I'm just saying they're not doing it like the Bible says. And that's a problem for me. Anybody uncomfortable yet? Thank you. I am too. I'm really sweating today. That's why I didn't wear my jacket. I'm like, woo! But this thing of praying in the Spirit strengthens yourself. It's not selfish though. Because if you're being built up by the Holy Spirit, what's the Holy Spirit going to build you up to do? Bless others. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, consume it upon yourself, drink it all in, and take all the goods for yourself. That's not what the Holy Spirit would ever do. So praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit is key to building up yourself so you can actually be a blessing to someone else. It was key for me to overcome my sin because I finally got strong enough in the Spirit that I could literally speak to the mind and do that thing about, hey, lustful thought, I don't want you anymore. Hey, angry thought, I don't need you. Get out of here. But I needed spiritual power to do that. It sounds real simple when we say it. Oh, you just take those thoughts captive, you know. But it says those weapons are divinely powerful. They don't work without the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're deficient or devoid of the working of the Spirit in your life, you're never going to take your thoughts captive. So you need to pray in the Spirit. So whether you pray in the Spirit in English, Chinese, Greek, or tongues, I don't care, personally. Because, I mean, in Ephesians where it says pray in the Spirit, it doesn't say necessarily that's praying in tongues. You could maybe use deductive reasoning and say Paul wrote Corinthians and Paul wrote Ephesians, and he said praying in the Spirit is this in Corinthians. And so when he probably tells you to pray in the Spirit at all times, he's probably talking about speaking in tongues, but I can't promise you that because you can't prove it from the text. So I'm not worried about that. What I am concerned about is that every one of us learn to pray in the Holy Spirit. So I hope you walk away today just going, I want to pray in the Spirit. Whether that's in tongues or English or Chinese, I don't care. I need what this is. Because every one of us, you need to be built up. Now the last thing in 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, when you pray in the Spirit, your mind is unfruitful. You know, some of us who've been in church forever, our mind is way too fruitful. And that's a nice way to say that we are constantly evaluating and judging everything at church. We went way away from childlike faith and receiving the word to analyzing everything that's said. And can I trust anybody here? Well, if you can't trust us, go find someone you can trust. I mean that, and I'm not mad or ugly saying that. You need to find a church and a pastor and a pastoral team that you can trust. Because you don't need to be wrestling with every message that's given on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or any. You just need to find a place where you could grow. And if harvest, we always say this, harvest isn't for everyone, but it's for someone. So, you know, there's lots of great churches in this town and all across West Texas. Find one that works for you where you can trust the leaders. I think this is one, that's why I've stayed here for almost 24 years. Let's go on. Here's the other thing Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5 and verse 18. He says, I wish that all of you would speak in tongues, and I pray in tongues more than all of you. I'm going to tell a story on my wife. When we first got here, I'd already received this prayer language, and I thought it was really cool. And so when I think something's cool, I try to share it with people I love the most, namely my wife. And she told me, I got the Holy Spirit when I believed. I don't need your speaking in tongues. I said, okay. If any of you know my sweet wife, she's very sweet, but she's very strong-minded. And so I said, you know what? That's not, I don't care. This is working for me. What she does seems to be working for her. I know she's pursuing God. If God wants her to have that gift, he'll give it to her. Well, he did. And now she really speaks in tongues more than all of you. And I always tease her about that. I go, you were the one who didn't think you needed this. And now I hear you going off all the time. It's funny to me. And I can't explain all the ins and outs here on a Sunday morning. I'm just trying to say, nothing to be afraid of. You can experience the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never, ever do anything to you to embarrass you, hurt you, or harm you, or do anything negative towards you. God loves you. If you have been in a church situation where somebody used spiritual gifts to try to push you in a corner and make you do something, would you just forgive them? Would you forgive me as a pastor on behalf of them? I think they're good-hearted people. They're trying to get you to experience what's been good for them. We're not going to push you into any corners here. We made that decision long before I got here, and I'm happy to stick with that because I think it's biblical. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. But don't shut down the reality that all this stuff is in the Bible. It's there. If you don't, if you're uncomfortable with it, good, just wrestle with it. Set up an appointment with a life group leader, a pastor, someone you trust. Dig into the scripture, read the Bible. Pray, ask God what he wants. So I've been praying in the Spirit for over 20 years. And this one spiritual gift has just revolutionized my life. I promise you, it's done more for me than any other gift. I would be lost today. Pastor Brad, you're really overselling this. No, this is true. I don't think I'd be married today. I certainly don't think I'd be in the ministry today. I don't think I would be estranged from my children. I don't think I'd be the great guy you know today if I couldn't connect with the Holy Spirit. And so this works for me. And so if I would be selfish not to share that with you. And so praying in the Spirit has drawn me closer to God. It's strengthened my heart. It's empowered me to serve others. It's helped me to overcome sin. It's caused me to be a better husband and father. And the list goes on. Here at Harvest Christian Fellowship, we just want everyone to experience the amazing, abundant life that Jesus promised us. And that life comes through the Spirit. So we're going to continue to teach the Bible as the truth. And we're going to do our level best to lead you into a deeper relationship with God. So today, there is an open invitation to pray in the Spirit. Will you stand with me? Experiencing God on a deeper level is available to all of us. Now, I said this early on. If you're new to all this today and you're going, I don't know what he's talking about, everybody being upset about spiritual gifts, I just need Jesus. Well, then you come. And then for the rest of us, it's an open invitation to pray in the Spirit. So prayer team, please come now. And I want to emphasize to you again, these people are only going to pray for whatever you ask them to pray for. There's no pressure. There's no twisting of arms. Just ask the Holy Spirit what he wants to do in your life. What gifts do you want to give me? How do you want to work in and through me, Holy Spirit? So would you pray with me? God, I just thank you that you love us. And I thank you that this is an uncomfortable topic for many people. But I thank you that together, as we seek you and love each other, it's not uncomfortable anymore. It's just Jesus wanting to share his life with his children. So Holy Spirit, come upon us today. Fall upon your people. Distribute your gifts as you see fit. Lord, fertilize our ground and our hearts so that we can continue to bear the fruits of the Spirit. That love would prevail above all things in our life together here at Harvest. And most of all, God, fill us with your Spirit. Gift us with your Spirit so that we can touch a dying world around us and lead them to this eternal, abundant life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want to respond today, the prayer team is ready to pray for you. I would just ask you to simply seek God. Ask him what this message means to you personally and how he wants to distribute his gifts in your life and how he wants you to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Have a blessed week. As Greg leads us in a song, when you're done with the song, you're free to be dismissed.